listening to the CCA Podcast.
Pastor Steve sends his greetings from Germany this morning. He'll be back next week to wrap up this series that we've entitled, Why Church? I'm Pastor Tim. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I usually lead the music, as Leilani said, but since I'm speaking, she graciously stepped in, and what a great job. It feels good to, It feels good to be in the presence of Jesus. We were talking in one of our small groups about 2 weeks back about how important it is that we meet together in a setting like this, because there's nothing like it where people who believe in the power of Jesus come together and His Spirit moves and it's palpable. God is not dead. He is alive and He's still moving and He's still involved in our lives. And that's a good deal. That's why we meet. I want to give you a little recap of sorts. We're talking about the series called Why Church? What is our purpose as followers of Jesus Christ? What's our mission? What's our responsibility? What is God expecting from us? And how do we reach the next generation? In week one, Pastor Steve talked about the importance of changing our mindset. He talked about the Great Commission, our great mission of going and baptizing and teaching. In week two, Pastor Steve talked about gatherings, what we're doing here and why is that important? Because we need to be spurred and encouraged. Last week, Pastor Matt talked about groups and the story of the lepers who challenged each other and then held each other accountable showed us that community is key. And today, we're going to talk about gifts. Gatherings, groups, and gifts. We're going to see how being a gift to others is tied to our spirituality. We're going to see that we are blessed so that we can be a blessing or a gift to others. We're going to see that sometimes we go through struggles so that we can be a blessing or gift to others. And finally, we're going to explore what it could look like to be a gift to those around us. And then we're going to close with communion. What is a gift? Is it simply something on someone's list that we've purchased for them and put in a box and wrapped up and put a bow on that we give to them on their birthday or on Christmas? No. A gift is much more than that. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defined a gift as this: a notable capacity, talent, or endowment. It's something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. Or it's the act, right, or power of giving. It's often really easy for us as pastors to concentrate on giving from a financial perspective or on using our gifts to serve ourselves here in the building, but that's not what I want to focus on this morning. I want to talk about how we can be a gift to the people around us, to our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, the people that we meet each day, as Mr. Rogers would say. In the first sermon of the series, Pastor Steve talked about the Great Commission, our great mission. When you read it, it says, go and make disciples. And Pastor Steve showed us, based on the word go being an active, present participle, that it would be best said while you are going. It's not just something we do once, it's continual. While you're going, make disciples. So in whatever we do, we need to be ready to be used by Jesus. In whatever circumstances we find ourselves, we need to look for an opportunity to be a gift to someone. Why? This is point number one. Because being a gift to others is tied to our spirituality. In your notes, you're going to see that there are a bunch of verse references, and those are for you to go look at later, to go dig in a little bit deeper, for you to talk about in your small groups. I'm not going to go through all of those this morning. I'll pick a couple, but those are for you to use later. James chapter 2 says that our faith and our deeds are tied together. They're inseparable. You cannot have faith without actions. James even paints a picture of what it looks like. The example of saying to someone who's less fortunate than we are, hey, go and be well. Keep warm and well fed, but then not helping meet their needs. He says that faith like that is worthless. For James, there's no space between action and faith. There's no chasm between spirituality and using our gifts. He goes a step further and asks the question, who's wise and understanding among you? These people are probably a pretty big deal. Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. You cannot separate faith and actions, and being a gift to others is tied to our spirituality. I'm a pretty big fan of U2, and I really like how Bono, their lead singer, sometimes talks about things, and I'd like you to hear what he has to say in this video.
I'd like to talk about the laws of man here in this city, where those laws are written. And I'd like to talk about higher laws. It would be great to assume that one serves the other, that the laws of man serve these higher laws, but of course they don't always. And I presume that, in a way, is why you're all here. It's not a coincidence that in the scriptures, poverty is mentioned more than 2,100 times. It's not an accident. It's a lot of airtime. As you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. As I say, good news to the poor. God may well be with us in our mansions on the hill. I hope so. He may well be with us in all manner of controversial stuff. Maybe, maybe not. But the one thing we can all agree, all faiths, all ideologies, is that God is with the vulnerable and the poor. God is in the slums, in the cardboard boxes where the poor play house. God is in the silence of a mother who has infected her child with a virus that will end both their lives. God is in the cries heard under the rubble of war. God is in the debris of wasted opportunity and lives. And God is with us if we are with them. A number of years ago, I met a wise man who changed my life in countless ways, big and small. I was always seeking the Lord's blessing. I'd be saying, look, I've got a new song. Would you look after? I have a family. I'm going away on tour. Please look after them. And this wise man asked me to stop. He said, stop asking God to bless what you're doing. Get involved in what God is doing because it's already blessed.
I like that. Being a gift to others, using the gifts that we've been given to help others, is tied to our spirituality. Who did Jesus spend time with? The poor, the downtrodden. God is with us when we are with them. As Americans, we have so much. We have so much. We've been given a great gift, and we need to use that to give back to others, the poor, the trafficked, the addicted, the refugees, the least of these, and with those we see every single day, on the bus, the server at the restaurant, those in the cubicle next to us, those in their cars in traffic around us. We have been given so that we can give. And that is the second point. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing or a gift. James said that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good thing that we have, every gift we've been giving is from God. It's not our own. It's been given to us as a gift. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Rome. He said, "We have different gifts. We've been given different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's to give, then give generously. If it's then to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." He also wrote to the church in Corinth. He said, "You'll be enriched in every way." There it is. We've been given this. "You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." I love this story told by Jesus of the parable of the talents. And instead of just me reciting to you it, I'm going to use the video again to let you watch it.
"Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold, to another, 2 bags, and to another, 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. 'Master,' he said, 'you've entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' The man with 2 bags of gold also came. 'Master,' he said, 'you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.' Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'"
What does foosball have to do with that verse? I have no idea. But it's better than listening to me talk. And I, you know, videos like this are funny to me because he's talking about weeping and gnashing of teeth, and what's playing in the background? A happy song. But there's truth in this. We've been given so that we can give. It's not just for us to hoard and hang on to and just stay within our walls every Sunday morning. That's not the point at all. We have been given so that we can give what God has entrusted to us. Our talents, our bags of gold. Is he talking about stuff? Not just stuff. He's talking about love, compassion, generosity, patience. These gifts must be invested. We have to invest them. If we don't invest them, what we have will be taken from us. We're blessed so that we can be a blessing, so that we can be a gift to others. But what about the other things, the rotten things that we experience in life? Are those a blessing? What do we do with those? What do we do with the difficult circumstances that come our way? What if we feel like we've been given bad gifts by God? Hardships, pain, suffering. For that, I don't have all of the answers. Livy and I have been talking about those kind of questions a lot lately. And honestly, they're questions that have been talked about for thousands of years. But there is, and I don't know everything behind that, but I do know this, that there is good news. And the good news is that God can take even the bad and make it into something good. Sometimes what seems like a curse now can be used through us to be a blessing to someone else down the road. Because here's point number three. Sometimes we go through struggles so that we can be a blessing or a gift. A great example of this comes from our reading, which you'll read this coming week in the chronological Bible. It's the story of Esther. The short version is that Esther and her uncle Mordecai are among those taken from Israel into captivity. This seems like a bad gift. However, God used Mordecai to uncover a plot against the king. That's good. But Mordecai is raised to a place of honor, which makes the king's number two in command very upset. This is not good. In the meantime, the king gets rid of his wife and brings in the most beautiful of maidens from the land to choose from as his new wife. Esther is one of them and is chosen as the new queen. Now, living in a palace is good. Everything that comes with living in a palace would be great, but living there against your will is probably not the most fun. Not so good. In the midst of this, the king's number two hatches a plot to destroy all of the Jews because of what happened with Mordecai. Because apparently, people wanting to wipe out the nation of Israel is not a new thing. Because of her unchosen place in the palace, Esther now has a unique opportunity. Her uncle Mordecai sends her a message saying, "Do not think that because you are the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your family, your father's family, will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." I love that last part. For such a time as this. Who knows but that God has allowed you to go through what you've gone through for such a time as this. One of our son's best friends recently had another friend who committed suicide. He was 14. It was the first time one of our kids actually knew someone who had taken their own life. And as we sat down with Isaac and Maddie to talk through it, we reminded them that you never know what someone else is going through. You never know when a kind word could make all the difference in someone's life. You never know that you making it through being bullied could give you the empathy to stand up for someone else who is currently being bullied. You never know when the hell you've been through in the past could allow you to be a listening ear or to encourage someone through the hell they are currently living in. The storm God has walked you through could be the very thing that saves someone else's life. Sometimes God allows our struggles so that we can be a blessing to someone else. The Apostle Paul said to the church in Corinth, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that what? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." Sometimes God allows struggles in our lives so we can benefit others. Sometimes we go through struggles so that we can be a gift to others. And that is a powerful, powerful thing. It's a powerful tool. What does it look like to be a gift? We don't have to look farther than the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians. He said, "Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever we do. Now, we can put those things into practice here in this building, and that's appropriate. We are always looking for people to help and to give in being involved in kids or youth ministry, through serving, through music, or in the media, in working in the coffee shop, or being a greeter out at the doors. That's a way that you can be a gift. We also have some pretty powerful events that are coming up as a church to reach out to our community. The first one is our Harvest Carnival. We can be a gift to our neighborhood by hosting a thing like the Harvest Carnival, by being a safe place where people can bring their kids, where they can see Jesus in us. And that's a good deal. It gives us the opportunity to invest in our neighborhood and to be a gift to them. But we cannot do it as a staff all by ourselves. We need your help. We need your help in things like setup and tear down. We need your help in praying over the event. We need your help in running booths. All of these things are things that we can do with the gifts and talents that we've been given. And if you are interested in being involved, I want to encourage you to talk to Pastor Matt and ask him how you can use your gifts to serve this community. Another area is what's coming up just before Thanksgiving. Over the past few years, we've done a brunch. And we've decided that we were going to make it less about us and more about others, which I think is very exciting. So we're taking our brunch and we're moving it downstairs into the gym. And we're asking that over the next couple months, as we put into practice this idea of being a gift, of investing in the people around us, that it gives you an opportunity to then invite someone to this service, to come and have brunch with us. There will be just a couple songs that we sing about Jesus, and Pastor Steve will talk about who Jesus is and why the church is important, and those things will be short. We'll spend most of our time investing in one another and eating together, and then what we're going to do is we're going to invest in our community again by putting together baskets with turkey and other Thanksgiving foods as a group, and we're going to be giving those away afterwards in our parking lot that day. It's a great idea. We can invest in our circle of influence, invite them to hear about Jesus, and then we can invest in our neighborhood together. And it gives all of us a chance to be a gift. And that's exciting. But it cannot be limited to this building. It cannot be limited to this building. It might mean that you use your gifts to, and you be a gift by going with the Bread of Life mission group to serve the poor. It might mean getting involved in the REST group, the Real Escape for the Sex Trade, that helps pray for and be involved in getting girls out of slavery. We have to invest in the people around us. And this can look like a whole lot of things. And I love this way of thinking because you can be any age and be a gift to any other person of any other age. Here's why. Here's why this works. I've become convinced that people from any walk of life or any age groups are looking for three things. They want to be known, loved, and valued. This means that I can be a gift to the checkers at my local grocery store. It means that I can be 80 years old and be a gift to the 20-year-old barista at my coffee shop. It means I can be a gift to my coworkers and my neighbors. How? Well, when it comes to being known, we can do simple things like learn their names and call them by their names. Ask questions about them. They can just be general questions, not too deep, because you don't want to be weird and freaky, right? I love the question, where are you from? It's basic, it's simple, it's a great conversation starter. It's not too personal, but it's a gateway to other questions like, oh, well, where did you live before you lived here? And why did you move here? In asking questions and finding out people's names, we show people that they are known. What does it mean to show people that they're loved? Man, we got to be kind and compassionate in all situations. We need to show patience when it's crazy at work or when you're in the line at the bank or the DMV or when your neighbor is cranky. We need to be generous with our time and our energy. That's showing people that they're loved. Anyone can do these things. Are you getting this picture? And what does it mean to show people that they're valued? Don't expect anything in return. Remember our definition of what a gift is at the beginning? The second one that said this, something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without what? Without compensation, with nothing expected in return. More than anything, people feel valued when they don't feel like you're trying to sell something to them or when you don't want something from them in return. That's showing them that they're valuable. And honestly, we really shouldn't try and sell Jesus. Because through his Holy Spirit living and working in us, if we will allow him and if we'll be obedient to him, he'll sell himself. It's not our job to save someone. It's our job to show and to tell. God himself is the one who in his kindness will lead people to repentance. He is the one who saves people. Not me and not you. Finally, it's important that we pray. Pray, 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 pray. Pray every day that God would give you opportunities to be a gift. Pray that God would open doors for you to have conversations with people, older people, younger people, people who need to feel known, loved, and valued. Pray that God would give you the right questions and the right answers at the right times. Pray that people would see the good news in you. The good news that the God who made everything, the one who is greater than all, that this God loved you so much that he gave you a gift. He left his glory, became a man, walked in our shoes, was wrongfully accused and condemned on your behalf, was killed and buried in your place. But he conquered death, and he conquered sin and rebellion and disobedience and addiction and pain and sorrow, and he is alive. He's alive, and his gift to you is eternal life with him. His gift is walking with you through the ups and through the downs. His gift is himself. And he gives it freely because he already paid for it on your behalf. We give because he gave. I'm going to ask the band to come to the front and the deacons if you'll get ready to serve communion. There is no greater love than this, that a person gives up their life for another. And that's precisely what Jesus did for us. What an amazing gift. If you want to receive that gift of new life with us, this new life with Jesus, this gift of forgiveness, the gift of hope, it's very simple. All it takes is surrender. Surrender. To say, Jesus, I believe you are who the Bible says you are, that you are God. And I believe that you did what the Bible said you did, that you left heaven and lived and died and was buried and rose again for me. All it takes is to say, I surrender myself to you. Jesus, if you gave your life for me, I'll give my life to you, and then I'll give my life as a gift to those around me that you direct me.